Chapter 4 of Proverbs, verse 20. And it says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." So we have Solomon here, and Solomon is teaching and training his child up in the way that he should go, so that when he's old he won't depart from it. And God has just allowed us by the Holy Spirit to get in to the writings that he is writing to his son, and these words are good for us and applicable for us also, or God wouldn't have put them in the Word. Amen?
Amen.
They wouldn't be in the canon of Scripture. So let's look at this again, verse 20. "My son, attend." Now, we looked at that several days ago. It just basically means, so we can cut a sermon down to 30 seconds, it means put the Word first place. What word? This word, the Word of the living God. We've got to put it first place in our life. And glory be unto God, if it says it, just believe it, because God didn't lie to us and he didn't put a bunch of stuff in here that he didn't mean. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be unto God. Why do we pray for folk? Because Mark 16 says, if you lay hands on the sick will recover. So it's not up to me to take that out of the Bible or reason it out of the Bible. It's in there. It's in there for a purpose. If God said, "These signs shall follow them that believe in my name," glory to God. And they said, he said that those that believe in his name would cast out devils. Then that must mean something, that there are devils, demons. There are demon spirits. It's actually the word is demon in Greek. It was just translated devils. We know there's only one devil, but there are many demons. If he said the church would cast out demons, and there must be demons, and someplace, somewhere, you're going to have to deal with it. Amen. But then he also said that those of us who believe in his name, we were going to speak with other tongues. Well, it's not up to me to take that out of the Bible, because he put it in there for a reason, not for me to skip over.
Right.
Glory to God. It's there for a reason. So it would behoove us to find out why it's there. Glory to God. I didn't know it was there until I was 24 years old. Then I found out. Glory to God. Now, I was 24 about 2 or 3 years ago. That's about it. Glory to God. Verse 20. I saw some of you looking at my gray hair. Glory to God. Premature gray. Verse 20. "Now, my son, attend to my words." Then it says, "Incline thy ear unto my sayings." And we looked that this is primarily done in two ways: inclining our ear to the word of the living God, and inclining our inner spiritual ear to what God deals with us individually about. We incline our ear unto that, glory to God, or our word that comes forth to us. If we incline our ear unto that, if we'll do it, glory be unto God, then some things are going to happen. Glory, hallelujah. Verse 21, let them words, those sayings, not depart from thine eyes. Then he says, keep them what? Them words, them sayings. Not very good English, but keep the word in the midst of thine heart. That's not your organ, the heart. That's your spirit, man. Man is made up of three parts. Man is spirit. Man possesses a soul, his reasoning abilities, his mind, and he lives in a body. Paul said that the real man was the spirit man. Glory to God. When we die, our body is laid down in the grave, but our spirit continues on to live eternally with the Almighty God if we're born again. I mean, we could teach on that for 7 weeks. How do I know? Because I've done it. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they what? They, the words and the sayings, are life. Everybody say life.
Life.
Glory be unto God. For the words are life unto those that find them. There's the key. You got to find them. It's not a whole lot unlike hide and seek. You have to get out and seek out the Word of God. Amen. For they are life, those words are life unto those that find them, and health Many of your marginal renderings, if you'll look at the margin, if you have a little number, many of your marginal renderings will say medicine. Everybody say medicine. And medicine to all their flesh. The word of the living God to everyone that will seek out the word concerning healing, that word to those who seek it out. It won't become healing to anybody who doesn't incline their ear and attend to the word and keep the word before their eyes, glory to God, and keep it in the midst of their heart. Nobody else is going to get healed if you don't seek out after the word of God on the subject of healing. But if you seek it out, Solomon is telling his son by the anointing of God, the Holy Ghost, if those who do seek it out, something's going to happen. This word is going to be medicine to all their flesh, and this word will minister healing from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. And my wife told me last night, we got to talking about some things that have happened in our meetings, and she said, honey, it's good that you tell people that because some people don't know. Well, you need to hear about people who are healed. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. Not just 52 people that you don't know, but have actually happened while we've been speaking for the word of the living God. Amen. People heard the word of faith, and faith has arisen in their heart, and healing has come to them. Lame people, deaf people, blind people. Glory be unto God. People with all kinds of crooked spines. People who had legs 6-8 inches long, 9 inches in that one case. An older woman, one leg was 9 inches longer than the other. She had one of those big lofts. She had to go out by taking her shoe off because she was lopsided the other way. God healed her. Had the thing for 70-some years, and God healed her because the word was preached. Not something a man does, but the word of God is medicine to our flesh. The Father God, he said, in Genesis, the 15th chapter, verse 26, he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. In Hebrew, it is Jehovah Rapha. Rapha is doctor. Even in modern Hebrew, Rapha is doctor. He said, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah, the Lord, your doctor. And he said, it's translated, I am the Lord that healeth thee. If he didn't mean it, why didn't he say what he meant? God is not a liar. The Bible tells us that he's not a man, that he should lie. God tells us what he means what he says, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do. Now, I grew up in a church that didn't believe that, but I refuse to pastor a church where people don't believe what God said. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you're there in your chair. You wrap your spirit around these words that are said tonight. And you let faith develop and incubate in your heart, and you keep getting the word and keep getting the word. And I don't care what the situation is you're facing, God will touch your body and heal your body. You can't be in a hurry about it. Amen. But he will do what he said he would do. Now turn with me, if you would please, or I'll just read these. We said in John 14, the last couple of nights, the original Greek says this in verse 10, the words that I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me speaketh them, Jesus speaking. And the works that I do not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me doeth them. Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 2 says, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So God, in the last days, in the former days, in diverse manners, God spoke by his prophets. But then Jesus came, and God delivered his word and his will to the earth through the life and mouth of his Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, if we want to know how God feels on a certain subject, all we have to do is listen to Jesus and watch Jesus, and we're going to know God's will. Don't tell me that Jesus walking around and healing somebody on almost every page of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Don't tell me now that God has removed that aspect of the miraculous ministry of himself as soon as Jesus left. No, Jesus was here to express God's will unto the earth. And God was saying, I want you well. I am a loving father, and loving fathers don't want their kids suffering with sickness. Loving fathers don't want their children to be maimed. Loving fathers don't want their kids to walk around and be totally incoherent of what's going on around them with some kind of mental disease. That's not what a loving father does. And God said, because so many people are goofy on the subject in the world, God said, I'm going to put my son on the earth, and he is going to show you my will. Amen. And Jesus went about showing God's will. Well, that was Jesus. This says, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Jesus said, I only say what the Father says. So Jesus said what God said. If I listen to Jesus, then I can hear the sayings of the Father. If I incline mine ear unto those sayings, glory to God, then I am going to get the result that God told me I was going to get. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to talk about that a little more as we go on. Amen. Now turn with me to Matthew 9. Because we're looking at the sayings of Jesus. We started out in Matthew. The other night, I thought we'd stay there for 2 or 3 days in Matthew, but lo and behold, I've had to put some other things on hold, and the Lord just wants me to continue for a while in Matthew. And so we're just going to look at the sayings of Jesus in Matthew concerning healing. Glory to God. So turn in your Bible to Matthew 9. And then when you find it, hold your finger there, because you know how I teach. Hold your finger there and go with me over to Mark, the 9th chapter. Because I want you to see this scripture. A man brought his adult son to Jesus, who was possessed of a demon spirit that most believe was epilepsy. Not all epileptics are epileptics because of demon activity directly. All sickness is the activity of the devil indirectly, because the thief cometh but for to kill, to steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life. Glory to God. Yeah. Not all, but I knew one epileptic that had, as a child, had fallen off of the choir riser in school and had hit his head, and from the moment that he had the blow to the head, he had epilepsy. Others are not caused by some accident or blow to the head, but God will heal both. It's an easy thing for him. God can heal, and we're going to look at that even more tonight. So here he brings it, and the disciples couldn't help the cat. Oh, I'm a musician. Cat is couldn't help the father. Excuse me. And Jesus says in verse 21, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him, this spirit that he was possessed with. But if thou canst do anything, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So here was this father, and he was throwing all of the responsibility over on Jesus. Said, if you can do something, have compassion on us. Notice what Jesus did immediately. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The man threw it all on Jesus and said, can you do it? Jesus tossed it back on the man and said, what can you believe? Now, you're going to find that theme throughout the New Testament. People are always talking about Jesus, you know, healing this one and Jesus healing that one. As you have seen and as you will continue to see, Jesus normally brings up this thing, what can you believe that I can do? He requires faith from us. from each individual. I have to walk in faith. When my body is attacked physically, I have to walk in faith. I have to do what the Bible requires of me to exhibit faith to please God. Because the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. God gets pleasure out of faith. He doesn't get pleasure out of people walking around moaning and groaning and crying, God, when are you going to do something to heal me? It's not going to do it. Faith is what impresses God. Hallelujah. Just put the, somebody could have amen me on that. Amen. Oh, Pastor, praise be unto God. We're glad we're here tonight. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now look here at chapter 9. We had looked at Jairus last night, and I thought we were finished with Jairus, but I just was impressed in my spirit today that we were to go on and look at some more things in Jairus. And so I just started writing my notes. And a lot of times it just comes out of my spirit. It's almost prophetic. And this is my first draft of notes, and it just started pouring out, and God began to teach me some things. And so you're going to get them tonight. Glory be unto God. We're going to get a little deeper, a little further into Jairus. Now look here with me, if you would please, to verse 18 of chapter 9 of Matthew. Remember, we're inclining our ears to the sayings of Jesus. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler. Remember, he was a ruler of the synagogue. And worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead. The original text says is even now dying, as is proven by the other two instances we would look at if we went to the other two stories or insertions of this story into the Bible. My daughter is even now dying, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Then the woman with the issue of blood came along. Then the story resumes in verse 27. But we're going to go to Mark 5 because, as we've noticed, sometimes Matthew doesn't go into as much depth because his purpose in being inspired by the Holy Spirit was not the same as what Mark and Luke's was. And so Matthew just didn't go into the depth that Mark and Luke did by the anointing of the Spirit. Mark, the 5th chapter, here's the same story, so we're going to look at it. While he yet spake, verse 35, Mark 5, 35, while he yet spake, speaking of Jesus, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Notice those words again, thy daughter is dead. The man's 12-year-old daughter was sick and she died. Thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? In other words, they were saying to him, there is nothing more that can be done now, she is dead. So let the master go on his way, because nothing more can be done now. Why do you continue to trouble the master? It's done, that's it, the game is over, we've reached the 9th inning, the 3rd out has occurred, the clock has rung, the bell has rung, the thing's over with. Well, I have a scripture for them in Jeremiah 32:17. So why don't you turn to Jeremiah 32:17, remembering to hold your finger and mark the 5th chapter for speed when we go back. Glory to God. Mark it in some way, a piece of paper, a ribbon. Chapter 32, they're saying, it's over, she's dead, it's over. Chapter 32, verse 17 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah speaking by the Spirit of the Lord. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power. In other words, God's not a wimp. God's got great power and stretched out arm. I mean, now I want you to notice this. God made the heaven and the earth just with his arm. It didn't even require his legs, his other arm, it's over. Sorry, I don't think it is. Oh, well, when they all, that time, you know, they call the family in and you're around the bed with a loved one and the doctors breaks the news, it's over. 3 months. That's all she has. Wrong. It's never over if you don't release faith, if you stay out of fear. It's never over. Glory to God. Now notice this. That's a little much for some people to believe, but that's why God is. And that's why you need to hear the word over and over and over again until you start believing it. Oh, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee that showest loving kindness unto thousands. In other words, God wants to use this great power to thousands. You go on down a little further and it says, the great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Verse 9. 19, great in counsel and mighty in work. Hallelujah. He's mighty. Everybody say, nothing's too hard for thee, Father. Yeah, I ought to say, nothing's too hard for thee, Father, because the kingdom of God is in me. Glory to God. Oh, praise the Lord. Everybody say it again. Nothing is too hard for thee. They're saying, it's over. She's dead. Let the man go. Don't bother him any longer. You never know when he's going to get mad. Because they'd probably just heard what we read about last night from Luke when he said, who touched me? And they all said, not me, not me, not me. And then he said, I said, who touched me? And the little woman came and fell down. They probably heard the story. No. Hallelujah. The Lord's good. Well, we need to maybe just look at another scripture. Hold your finger there and mark. I'm going to let you release. Jeremiah, and go with me to Genesis, the 18th chapter. I mean, the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Genesis 18. And so the time of going to church and hearing one scripture taken out of context and destroying everything that God has worked an entire Bible to establish, those days have got to be over in our life. Let's find out what the Bible says. Glory be unto God. That's why he said, study to show thyself approved. That's why a lot of people aren't being approved by God. And that God has to approve of your faith. God wants to know that you believe him and you wouldn't turn your back on what he said for nothing. Glory to God. Now look here. Chapter 18, verse 12. I'm almost preaching tonight. Verse 12. Therefore, Sarah, this is Abraham and Sarah, can have kids. Abraham's about 100. Sarah's about 90. Therefore, Sarah laughed. Well, we got to go up. Let's go up to verse 9 so we get the whole thing. You don't have to mark that. We can just move our eyes up. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. It was over. 90. She was still a looker, though. I mean, Abraham took her into the other countries, and kings desired her, and the woman was not young. She, you know. Are you listening? Oh, you come into contact with the presence of God, no wonder what it's going to do to you. I mean, it's just going to, who knows? Hallelujah. Now look, now notice this, verse 12. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself. There was no faith here. saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? You can just hear her. And the Lord Jehovah said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. The natural realm saying, it's over. The servants of Jairus said, it's over, let the man be. But my Bible said there's nothing too hard, and it ain't over till it's really over. Glory to God. Praise be unto God. Is there anything too hard? Glory to God. Now let's look at another one. Let's look at Romans. Well, no, let's look at 2 Kings, just because Brother Brian likes this scripture. 2 Kings. We used it the other day in a sermon. God's good. 2 Kings, the 3rd chapter. You got to know this about God. He's great. He's powerful. He doesn't take breaks. He doesn't go on vacation. He doesn't need to. He's the omnipotent, omnipresent God. Filled with power and might. The Bible said he doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He isn't held back by the constraints of a physical body like we are. But glory be unto God, Jesus is going to come into the clouds soon. The sound of the trumpet, the shout, the angel, glory to God. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be caught up together with those who have died before us. We're going to meet him in the air, glory to God. The Bible says this mortal is going to put off immortality. And we're going to have bodies, resurrected bodies like Jesus. In other words, that wall is not going to be any obstruction whatsoever. We can pass through that wall if we want to. Hallelujah. That's the God already has that spiritual body. He is not held back by the constraints of this flesh. This flesh is one thing. It is a way to transport me in this life and make it possible that I can come into contact with that which has substance. Glory to God. But God wanted us healed while we're walking around in this garage. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but when something breaks at my house, we go about to get the thing fixed. This is the temple of God. If anything breaks in it, God goes about to get it fixed. This is his house you're looking at right here. Bible says that my body is not my own. It's God's. God can take care of it. If you can take care of your house, God can take care of his. I mean, you just think about it. As I said, and you can just logically prove this out. It just makes no sense to think that God wants his people, his house, to deteriorate, fall apart, be eaten up by all kinds of disease, and then his house fall away so it has no value. If a landlord owns a bunch of houses and they all get run down and decay, he no longer reaps any benefit from his houses. We are his real estate, glory to God. And God wants us so that he can get value out of our lives. If I'm in heaven dying prematurely, who am I going to win to the Lord? He wants me to take more ground. It makes no sense whatsoever to my mind, to my spirit, to think that God wants us dead with disease. Glory to God. But sometimes I'm preaching to the choir when I preach those things. Because most of you believe it to a sense. But we're here to get you to know that no matter what you're facing, and even beyond that, if you're healthy now, you can stay healthy the rest of your life. You don't have to be concerned about cancers taking over your body. You don't have to be concerned about blindness setting in. I mean, he even said this, there shall no plague come nigh my dwelling. I mean, that's just the word of God. That's God's plan for us. Hallelujah. Now go over here, 2 Kings. I'm almost preaching tonight, and I don't really know why. Somebody must want it. Either that or somebody needs it. 2 Kings 3. I mean, they were in a fix. They were in the desert place. And this is what the prophet said. The prophet said, dig me some ditches in verse 16. In verse 17, he said, for thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that you may drink both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. God's, they're in a desert place, and God says, your only responsibility is to dig some ditches. And then he says, without wind and without rain, I'm filling those ditches. And this is easy for me, he said. That's what light means. This is a piece of cake. This is easy for me to cause water to be when there's no water falling from the air. You know, I've just got a problem that's insurmountable. No, you don't. Because nothing is too hard for my God. Hallelujah. Romans 4. In case you're not convinced, we can't establish doctrine off one scripture. Romans, the 4th chapter. Notice the audacity of Jehovah God, the Father that we serve and that we love and who we are the supernatural offspring of. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, the Lord speaking to Abraham. Before him whom he believed, even God, now get this next statement, who quickeneth the dead. Now for those of you who don't know what quickeneth means in Old English, it means makes alive. Notice this. Who makes alive the dead? God is not moved by death. When man says something is too late, it doesn't move God. Nothing is too difficult for God. That means a healing in my body is not too difficult. You go on down here and we'll read from here later. And it's dealing with the deadness of Abraham's body and the deadness of Sarah's womb. They could not produce offspring. But God has the audacity to call things that be not as though they were. And he called life into being and they bore a child. Well, Abraham not only bore one. That was the beginning. And boy, he got the world in a mess is what he did. Glory to God. That's another sermon and another time. Amen? Amen. I said amen? Amen. Now go back with me, if you would please, to Mark 5. Your finger still there? Back to verse 35. While Jesus yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? In other words, it's over, she's gone, but nothing's too hard. I want you to notice what it says in verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard, they laid, it's too late, and as soon as it came out of their mouths and Jesus heard it, he didn't go through all the scriptures I just went through. As soon as he heard it, he said something. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith. Here's the sayings of Jesus we're to incline our ears to. Jesus was aware of the situation. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Whew. The words of doubt and unbelief came forward, and immediately Jesus combated those words with the word of God. Be not afraid, only believe. Luke 8:50, Another instance of this story says it this way. You don't have to turn there. Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Her wholeness was dependent upon him believing. The last time I checked, we're called believers. And I talked about this the other day. It's not any more difficult for him to forgive sins than it is for him to heal you. He said that himself. We looked at that 2 days ago. He said, which is easier? Neither one of them. They're the same. They're easy for me. Our whole purpose, our whole way of getting into this way of life is we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord. That's how we become believers. We believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. We're believers. Amen. I said we're believers. And her wholeness depended upon this man believing because he was the authority in his household. And that's an entirely different thing. Okay, we don't have time to talk about authority in your household right now. But it does have something to do when you have children underneath you, you can use your faith for them while they're in the household. Glory to God. But then people get to a place when they become adults and move out, they're responsible for themselves. Glory to God. But we don't have time to look at all that. But this man had a 12-year-old daughter who had just died, and Jesus, when he was confronted with the doubt, he countered the doubt with those words, fear not. Be not afraid, only believe, which will tell you fear and faith are not the same thing. If you have fear, you're not believing. There's a good thing. If you're afraid about tomorrow, then you're not believing about tomorrow. If you have fear about what might happen next week, then you don't have faith in believing about what's going to happen next week. If you think you're going down next week and are afraid of that, then there's no chance you're going to go up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anybody around? Amen. So these are the Father's sayings. Hallelujah. Maybe your body is crying out just like those from the house of Jairus when they're saying, it's over. Don't bother him. Then you're going to have to position yourself to counter what your body is telling you with the Word of God. Now listen to what I'm getting ready to say because it's going to bless you. The voice of your body is feeling. The voice of your body is what you see. I mean, if you look at yourself and you got that lump and it's hanging here and you're touching it every day, your body's talking to you. Now, what do you do as a believer when your body's talking to you? Say you've got a migraine headache. Say you know, or somebody knows, we'll put it this way, somebody knows that they have cancer. You've got a tooth that's decayed inside of your mouth. You've got a blind eye. None of those things are of God. None. God didn't create this body to decay. I'll say it again. He didn't create it that way. Moses was 120 when he died. God promised us 120 years in Genesis 6 chapter. He hadn't changed his mind. That's God wants man to strive to live to 120 years on his word. Look in the Bible. It's there. That's our allotted time, 120 years. Glory be unto God. I said, glory be unto God. Moses got to 120 and didn't even have dimness of eye. He didn't even have to wear these things. He could see perfectly at 120 because he stood on the word of the living God. He had a revelation of the healer, had a revelation of the anointing. We can all do it. I'm working on it daily. I'm attending to his words and inclining my ear unto his sayings. And as I do, glory to God, my face growing in that area. And the day will come when I don't need these things on my head. I believe it, absolutely. Glory to God. If Moses can go to 120 without dimness of eye, I can do it, and so can you. Hallelujah. So what if our body is delivering the message, it's too late. What do we do as believers? We've got to do the same thing Jesus did. We've got to counter it with the Word. Now let's look at something at Romans, the 4th chapter. Get ready. Hallelujah. Romans, the 4th chapter. Verse 19. Abraham again. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Notice what it says about Abraham. He considered not. Everybody say those two words. Considered not. If you have something wrong with your body, you're going to have to do the exact same thing that Abraham did. You're going to have to consider not your body. Now, how do I do that? If I've got a diseased body, if I've got a blind eye, if I've got a lump, whatever the case is, how do I not consider that? Abraham didn't consider it. I'm going to show you how. You've got all of the ability right now to do this, did saints of the living God. And as soon as I point it out to you, you're going to go, oh yeah, we got that perfected, baby. You walk in this power to consider not at least once a week. We're striving for no a week, none a week, but we're going to show you, okay? Turn with me to Matthew 7, if you would, please. I'm going to show you the exact same word in Greek used in another location, Matthew 7. So how do I counter the negative words that my body are feeding me? I do it the same way Abraham did. He considered not. Get this, chapter 7, verse 1. Oh, baby. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote? Now the word mote is a little blind to us, but the word mote is like a particle of dust. For the shepherds, the word mote was like the little fuzzy fibrous things that came off the sheep's fur and just started floating, and they would land in your eye, and you got the little piece of lint, you know, in your eye. Now notice what the mote is. I think most people think of something real big, but it's just a little floaty thing that floats in your eye. And notice what it says. And why beholdest the little piece of floaty stuff that gets into thy brother's eye, but considerest, same word we looked over in Romans 4, but considerest not the beam, the building beam that is in thine eye. Now notice what I'm telling. Christians are pros at this. Talking about and bringing up everything about their brother and sister, but they're doing things 90 times worse and they're not considering it. Oh, baby, they're just going on through life. See, that you've got the ability not to consider things. Anybody ever been there? Dial up the phone. Well, you just didn't believe what she did to me. Well, she did this. She is such a terrible mother that she let her three children, I mean, just reading them up and down, up and down, up and down, but not the whole time not looking at yourself. That's walking out of love, number one, and that's a good way not to have your faith work, number two. Here, God becomes very Italian right about here. Keep your mouth shut about other people. But the Lord just led me over here. It's the same Greek word. And he just began to deal with my spirit. My people have the ability not to consider. I mean, you go on every day with things in your life that you ought to change, and you just don't consider them. You know you talk too much, and yet you don't even consider it. You know you are ugly to your husband day after day after day, and you don't even consider it. Husband, you know you're mean to your wife, and you don't even consider it. Husband might know he got a little touch of laziness and he ought to be up helping the little woman. I'm meddling now. And he knows that's a deficiency in his personality, but he won't do anything to change it. See, he's considering not. And some of you are getting this because you got this little look on your face. You know, that's the 10th gift. There's the 9, then that's the 10th. Glory to God. Then there's the 11th, the gift of suspicion. Anyway. Considereth not. I'm going to go over it again. We have the ability to go beyond visible things. Now, God just didn't tell us not to consider without giving us something to consider. Because you got to consider something. God didn't call for us to be these metaphysical air brains and just clear our mind. God wanted something in our minds, but he wants the right thing in our minds. Okay, I won't think about it. I won't think about it. I won't think about it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to think about that sickness. I'm not going to think about that deficiency in my body. Not going to think about it. Well, that's getting over into an area that God is not in. God doesn't live in that realm. God wants something in our minds. I mean, he tells us, think on these things. He tells us what to think on. And we're going to look at another one tonight. God doesn't say just clear out all the thoughts out of your brain and not consider and ignore. Ignoring is not faith. Not considering and considering something else is faith. Right. A lot of people ignored and are in the grave today, but they didn't do the other part of it. Right. Are you listening? There's another part. Because sickness is real. Disease is real. One religious group they just say it's not real. Well, it is real. You know, I mean, we can go traipse through the graveyard over there, and there's a lot of real cases laying right there. It is real. It exists, but there's a higher realm here, and it's called nothing's too hard for God. And you can just ignore it and ignore it and ignore it, and if you're not doing something else, you will die if you have a disease that you're going to die of. But you don't have to die. Now, that's the good news. I said that's the good news. Hallelujah. Did you get my little example there? That we have the ability to not consider. We're quite proficient at it. Amen. Oh, it was in my notes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now turn with me to Hebrews 3. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hebrews 3. But God's all-knowing and all-seeing. I mean, God lives in the present, the past, and the future. Anything that's getting ready to happen in the future for us, God already knows. He's already there. Amen. And that's the good news. Now, chapter 3, I want you to get this. Abraham considered not the deadness of his body or his wife's body. But we've got to consider something, and the Lord tells us what to consider right here. Chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. That's me. How about you? I'm a partaker of the heavenly calling. I'm a holy brethren. Everybody say this just to freak your mind out. Say, I'm holy. I mean, that right there just messed some people's minds up. But we're holy. I can even take you further than that. You know what the Bible calls us? Okay, hold your finger there. Because some of you need to see this. Hallelujah. I got to think where it's at. Glory to God. Chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. I want you to get this. This is for somebody here because they don't see themselves. You need to see yourself the way the Bible sees yourself. Sees you. Excuse me. You need to see yourself the way the Bible sees you. Now, this will get you tossed out of a lot of churches. So, glory to God. But If you get tossed out of your church, come here. Glory to God. Now notice this. In chapter 6, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? The Lord just called you righteous. Okay? And what communion hath light with darkness? The Lord just called you light. Righteous and light. Now, get ready. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Ooh, he just called you Christ. Well, that right there will mess around with some people's brains. He called us righteous, and we can go through and prove it throughout the Scriptures. He called you light, and he called you Christ, the anointed and his anointing. The anointed one and his anointing. I mean, we're carrying around the anointing of the Lord God Almighty inside of us. Oh, really? Is that right? Yes. It's the Bible. And I'm not going to teach on that. But anyway, chapter 3, Hebrews. Wherefore, holy brethren, everybody say holy.
Holy.
Partakers of the heavenly calling, consider. This is what we're to consider. We're not to consider our body or the deadness of it, but we're to consider the apostle and high priest of our profession or confession, the word in Greek is homologeo, saying the same thing. He is the high priest of the words that we say that are the same things that he says. The apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. What am I supposed to consider? I'm supposed to consider the apostle and high priest of my confession, Jesus Christ. So I'm not supposed to consider the sickness of my body, but I am to consider Jesus Christ. Well, what and who is Jesus Christ? How can I consider him? Well, how can I consider Jesus? Oh, well, I'm going to think about Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee. Oh, well, I'm going to think about Jesus hanging up on the cross. I'm going to think about Jesus in the... Well, no. My Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 of that same passage says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, who was that Word that became flesh? Jesus Christ. So when I'm considering, I'm supposed to be considering the Word, because He is the Word that became flesh. So I'm supposed to be considering the Word, not considering my body, considering the Word of the living God. Oh, which gets us back to Proverbs 4. My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Oh, so I am considering, I am attending to the words, and I'm inclining my ears unto his sayings. That's what I'm supposed to be considering. Folks, if you consider all the bad stuff, you're going to be really down and out. You're going to get depressed. But you start considering that word, glory be unto God. You start considering that word. Whatever the problem is, you find the word on that and you consider that. Now, you just can't ignore the problem. Consider the word.
Amen.
Yeah, are you listening? Yeah. Well, that's a pretty good word. You didn't have to drive to Tulsa to get it. Hallelujah. Man, I just saved you gas money.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord's good. Well, we got to read chapter 3, verse 1 again. That just did me good. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Here's the good news right here. Who was faithful to him that appointed him? Man, he's faithful. He's faithful. He'll just do what he says he's going to do. Oh, well, my body, you just don't know how bad things are in my body. Well, the Bible says that nothing's too hard for him. The Bible says that I'm not to consider that, but I'm to consider, glory to God, the Word of the living God, and keep that before my eyes. He'll take any situation and it will change, glory to God, because everything in this life is subject to change. Everything. Everything is subject to change. Everything. Except the Word. Amen. So I have to consider Jesus and what he accomplished for me and speak that out of my mouth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Matthew 9. And I had it all set out. I was going to get you home at an early hour tonight. Now, in Matthew 9, we're just going to look at the original confession of Jairus. It says in verse 18, "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." His statement of faith is she's dying, but you come lay your hands on her, and she's going to live. That was his confession of faith. That was a statement of faith. Now, with that in mind, Matthew 9:24. So Jesus, when he said, "Fear not," or "Don't be afraid," Jesus was returning him back to his statement of faith. You go back to where you were before you got this news. Folks, always go back to this before you got your news. Amen? It hadn't changed. The news didn't change it. But verse 23 in Matthew 9, after the woman with the issue of blood, "And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making noise, he said unto them, Give place." The original Greek, if you bring it in modern English, he said, "Get out." Everybody say, "Get out." Here all these folks were, and they're filled with doubt. They're all weeping and crying. Of course, they were paid to do it back then. You hired the mourners to come in. They were professional mourners. And you hired the mourners to come in and mourn. The louder, the more mourning that came about, kind of like the more important you were. So you hired as many as you could get, because the more you got, the bigger you seemed to all those out in the street. You know, this one is really being missed. to show you, their mourning turned to laughter here in just a second. And it wasn't a spiritual thing. And they laughed him to scorn, it says at the bottom of verse 24, because of what he said. He said, "Get out, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth." And he called them things that be not as though they were. Just like Abraham, just like God did. She was dead, but not too hard for God. Amen. Now go back with me, if you would please, to Mark 5. "And they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's nothing too hard for God. All they had to do was believe. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't care what we're facing, what malady in our flesh, what sickness, what disease. If you'll stick with the Word of God and stick with it and speak what the Word says about it, every situation will change. Every single situation will change. Glory be unto God.